This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Novelist Mario Vargas Llosa was almost President Vargas Llosa. He ran for the president of his country, Peru, in 1990 and lost to Alberto Fujimori. Just a couple of days after the election, Vargas Llosa moved to England. There he wrote a memoir about his literary and political life. It's just been published in the U.S. It's called A Fish in the Water. Vargas Llosa is a major figure in Latin American literature. He emerged during what's been described as the Latin American boom of the 1960s. In the U.S., he is perhaps best known for his novel Aunt Julia and the Scriptwriter, which was adapted into the film Tune In Tomorrow, starring Keanu Reeves, Barbara Hershey, and Peter Falk. I asked Mario Vargas Llosa what made him decide to run for president.
Because in that particular moment, the situation in Peru was so catastrophic that it seemed not only that the very fragile democratic system that we had could collapse, but even that the country could disintegrate, you know, in chaos. We had hyperinflation, we had terrorism, the fall of the standards of living were dramatic, and there was this pessimism, so I felt, as many other Peruvians who until then had never participated in practical politics, a push to intervene, you know, in the public debate about the options of change, and then in the campaign. But I did it more for moral reasons than for a political vocation or for appetite for power.
What were your encounters with the Shining Path like during the election?
Oh, encounters. Well, they tried to kill me twice. And they were ferocious, particularly in the last month during the period between the first and the second round of the election. More than 100 people who were working with me in grassroots organizations were assassinated by the Shining Path. And there were many, many attempts, you know, to kill people who were working very closely with me. And, in two occasions, they tried to kill me, too.
How did they try to kill you?
Oh, they tried to bomb one plane when it was landing in a small airport in the Amazon region and then they put a bomb in a neighboring house, which fortunately was discovered before exploding.
When the Shining Path tried to bomb your plane, how was that prevented?
Oh, it was just it's an incredible story, you know. I tell this story in detail in A Fish of the Water. A group of people from a small slum in Pucallpa, very close to the airport, discovered a group of strangers to this neighborhood hiding in the landing piste of the airport. Exactly in the moment when my plane was landing there, and so they approached to see what were they doing, and they were received with shots and had to be taken to the hospital, and the terrorists escaped, but they abandoned there the bomb that they were using, which was we discovered when we get out of the plane. That was probably the most, risky episode in the whole campaign.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Mario Vargas Llosa. He's a novelist and also ran for president of Peru in 1990 and lost to Alberto Fujimori. Mario Vargas Llosa has written a memoir called A Fish in the Water. We're going to take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with writer Mario Vargas Llosa. He ran for president of Peru in 1990 and lost. We've talked a little bit about running for office. I want to deal with the other part of the memoir, the more personal part of your memoir. Your parents were divorced before you were born. They were separated, I should say, before you were born. And you basically thought your father was dead when you were growing up?
That's right. I was, my first 9 years, I thought that my father was dead. And only when I was 10 years old, my mother revealed to me that he was alive and that they had been separated and that they now were reconciled and would be living together and that I would be living with my father. Yeah, that was probably the most important event in my life.
Was that good news for you?
Well, it was surprising news. It was something that I certainly didn't expect it. Very soon I discovered that it would be very, very difficult for me to adapt myself to the kind of personality that my father has. It was a very difficult relationship. Until then, I had lived with my mother and my mother's family, and I had been, let's say, a very spoiled child. And suddenly, I started to live with a man who was very rigorous, very strict. So I had to adjust myself to a kind of discipline and control that until then I didn't know. And it was a very, very difficult transition. And as I say in my book, I think this experience was essential for the development of a literary vocation in myself.
Why would an authoritarian father be essential to the development of your literary interests?
Because I think imagination, fantasy was a refuge, was a place where I could take refuge when I felt alone and abandoned and anguish and desperate. That was my revenge, you know. In that world of imagination, of fantasy, I could be happy, I could be free, I could really be my own master. Something that in the real life I wasn't. Huh?
Was your father authoritarian with your mother, and did your mother change when you both started living with your father?
Oh, my mother was completely dependent on my father. You know, he had a very strong personality. But my mother loved him, you know, and I think she resigned herself to the abuses and even violences that this relationship implicated for her. Because there were compensations, you know. I think my father, in his way, also loved her a lot. But my case was quite different because for me, my father was a stranger. And he never tried really to establish, you know, a loving relationship with me. And I didn't, neither, you know.
One of the things you write about in your new memoir, Fish in the Water, is your first marriage, which was in part the basis of your novel, Aunt Julia and the Scriptwriter. And this is the story of how you married your older aunt when you were 19, and I think she was in her early 30s. What was the family reaction when you fell in love?
Well, the family, of course, was extremely worried and unhappy with these barriers that they thought would be very destructive for me. But actually, it wasn't. We were married almost 8 years. And it was during those years that I became a writer. No? My first marriage was, in this sense, quite successful.
Was your family more upset about the age difference between you and your aunt, or about the fact that she was your aunt.
Well, she was not my aunt. She was the sister of one of my uncle's wife. So it was an aunt in political terms, but not in...
Not in blood.
Not in blood, no. No, they were worried, of course, because this age difference. And they, I think, were quite sensibly worried, because 12 years of difference, you know, is something that sooner or later would produce... what actually it produced, you know, a very difficult kind of coexistence.
When you divorced, you later married a cousin of yours, who I believe you're still married to.
Yes, I am.
Was she a cousin by blood?
Yes. First cousin, yes.
Was there any taboo against that?
No, not at all. The family was quite happy with this marriage, and... Well, it's been a very successful marriage, because we are been married more than 30 years now.
I want to talk more about literature with you. When you were growing up, you say that you really didn't read much Latin American literature. You mostly read American and European fiction.
That's right.
You later read a lot and wrote about Latin American fiction, but why wasn't it interesting to you when you were younger?
Well, you know, at that time, I think... My case was quite common among young writers and intellectuals in Latin America. The lack of communication between country to country in literary terms was enormous. We didn't know in Peru in the 50s. What was published in neighboring countries like Chile or Ecuador. We were much better informed about the new North American writers, or French or Italian or English writers. We didn't know much, you know. So that's what I read. I read the Lost Generation writers, for example. And I read a lot of French writers. And it was only in Europe, you know, in the 60s, when I was living in France, that I discovered literally Latin American literature. And I discovered at the same time that many European and American readers were also discovering that Latin America had been producing very interesting poets and novelists, and it was something very enriching.
Last July, in an article in the New York Times, it was reported that you are now among Peru's most disliked figures. And the article said that Peruvians hated your memoir, which was published there before it was in the United States. Do you agree with that? Do you think of yourself as being among your country's most disliked figures now?
Well, that I... We need a plebiscite to decide that. But my book was not very popular, of course, when it was published among the fans of the regime. Because since the 5th of April of 1992, when Mr. Fujimori produced this coup and destroyed the democratic system and close the parliament and send all the judges to their houses, I started to criticize, as I've been doing until now, the collapse of the Peruvian democracy, and because I think this is a tragedy, you know, for Peru. And this, as the coup was popular, particularly at the beginning, this made of me a very unpopular figure. So there were many, many criticisms of anything that I said and I wrote against the coup and against Fujimori. But things have been changing since, and now apparently the regime is much more unpopular than myself. So I'm not so unpopular now, apparently, in Peru.
So you think the regime's catching up to you?
Yes, I think
in
so.
Unpopularity.
That's my impression.
So do you think you'll ever move back?
I don't know. What I know is that I won't move back to politics. But to my country, yes. When things change, when things improve, certainly, yes.
Mario Vargas Llosa, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Mario Vargas Llosa's new memoir is called A Fish in the Water. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.